N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.
Welcome back to the N10 show on this lovely spring evening. We've just had the most amazing sunset. The sun was a beautiful red disc. It was absolutely stunning. So this week we've got a bit of a music show with street dance, brass bands, and I'm also going to play you a track from Olivia Grant, the young girl from Crouch End, who I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when she played at Bar Boot at the Haberdashery Cafe. She sent me over her CD at the weekend and it's really lovely. But we start the show with street dance classes at Showstoppers.
We're going to have some freestyle demonstrations. If the kids that have been attending the taster sessions for the last 8 weeks hopefully will all come this evening, and they've learnt some routines as well. So we're hoping that they're going to perform the routines that they've learnt. Then we would like them to battle it out dance style.
Then we stroll through Highgate Woods getting some puppy support with Alexis Fuller from Rough Mutts.
When I first got my puppy, she's a Border Terrier and she's now 2.5. When we first got her, I bought this book, which is called The Puppy, Perfect Puppy by Gwen Bailey.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Bible.
And the What's On piece this week is a call to action to all you brass banders.
There's so many adults out there who used to enjoy playing music when they were at school, when they were younger. Families have come along, job responsibilities, and they've let it all go. They've often got a violin or a trumpet up in the loft somewhere. I meet these people and they say, oh, you're a musician. I used to play the tuba.
You're listening to the N10 show and I'm LJ. So before we start, let's hear a track from 16-year-old Olivia. It's an original song called I Adore You. It's unbelievable to think that she's completely self-taught and that she's only been playing the banjo for a year. That was Olivia Grant, and I'm going to get her in for an interview soon so that I can find out a bit more about this young girl. So let's move on to our first topic for this week, street dance classes, which are being run by Sarah McMull and her company Showstoppers. Sarah has been running the school for the past 9 years and she explains what it's all about.
I'm Sarah McMull and I run Showstoppers. Showstoppers, it's a performing arts school. We're based in the Freehold Community Centre in Muswell Hill. I've been running it for 9 years now. I started supported by the community centre here, so they helped me get started and I was a jobbing actress then. And it's evolved into now a school and I run after-school clubs and lunchtime clubs. And I've got this funding from Sport England to make more classes. I know I never could have done it if it hadn't been for Chris Faulkner, who is the chairman here. They're all volunteers that run this community centre, and if I would have had to have hired a random hall at £30 an hour, which is your average rate, I couldn't have stayed afloat. But they were excited to have someone that was getting people through the doors, and every time I have a new idea, they support me. I applied for funding from Sport England from their programme that's called Sportivate, which is a national programme that's aimed at getting kids aged 14 to 25 into physical activity. So Sport England funded me to go into schools for the last 8 weeks and do taster sessions to promote the classes, and they've subsidised the sessions. So Jamie Mason is our street dance instructor this evening. He's in a street crew with my other street dance instructor who comes on a Saturday.
Hi, my name is Jamie Mason. I'm a hip-hop dancer. I started when I was about 8, but I didn't take it serious until I was about 15. I've been in quite a few groups. My recent groups, I was in The Youngers, and now I'm in a group called Myself. And it's actually my twin who started dancing first. He was in a school, a little school play, I think it was like year 4 or something, and the teacher advised him to go street dance with these girls. And I thought it was silly, like dancing for girls kind of thing. That's how I saw it. But then the first show I saw them do, he had to mime this rap, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. So that if I was there, that could have been me.
Well, this evening, we're gonna have some freestyle demonstrations. If the kids that have been attending the taster sessions for the last 8 weeks, hopefully will all come this evening, and they've learnt some routines as well. So we're hoping that they're gonna perform the routines that they've learnt. Then we would like them to battle it out dance style. If they're confident enough, we're gonna try and encourage them to do that. And if not, Jamie's gonna do like a half an hour teaching session. Next week it'll be an hour long. Next summer, as it's 10 years, I've hired the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. I wanna do a big gala performance, demonstrations from all the classes that I run in the schools and everywhere. Just do one night in the West End.
That was the lovely Sarah McMull and the equally lovely Jamie. Let's move on now to Puppy's Progress, as I'm calling this item. If you've been listening, you'll know that I've recently acquired a little cockapoo called Ella, who I adore but have found to be quite hard work at times. And in fact, I felt quite overwhelmed having this new puppy in the house. So I sought out Alexis Fuller, who runs a doggy daycare service just around the corner called Rough Mutts, for some words of support.
I think it's really difficult when you first get a puppy, and I think a lot of people are overwhelmed by how difficult it is.
It's really overwhelming.
Yeah. My mum said to me when she got like her puppy, she said, oh, it's like having a baby. You have to watch them all the time. You can't really leave them to their own devices.
No.
They're not just going to do exactly what you want them to do. It takes them a while to get into their kind of pattern and their stroll. I think a lot of people feel like they're failing, and I think that's why a lot of people give up on their dog.
What are some of the common issues that people have? I mean, I'm, as I was just saying to you a second ago, just sort of learning about her bowel movements.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say about, you know, routine? And
when I first got my puppy, she's a Border Terrier, and she's now 2.5. When we first got her, I bought this book, which is called The Puppy Perfect Puppy by Gwen Bailey.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Bible. Hurry, come on, this way. Good boy.
It's okay. Ella, come here, good girl. Sit down, sit, Ella, good girl.
It's a guide that if you had all the time in the world, when you had nothing else going on in your life apart from looking after your puppy, it's fantastic. However, nobody has all the time in the world, but what you can do is get bits from it.
Yeah.
Definitely. They generally say that after you've fed your puppy, they'll go to the toilet within 20 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
So, and you'll have to look for certain signs like sniffing, circling.
Yeah.
So it's starting to look at your puppy and start to know those signs, but also just keep taking them out really regularly.
Yeah.
And you have to also be patient enough to kind of stand out, even if it's cold,
yeah,
in your garden,
yeah,
and wait for your puppy to do something, yeah, and then be waiting there with a treat as soon as they go for a wee or do a,
yeah,
poo, and you have to reward them almost like, you know, instantly.
I read the other day that it takes like 6 hours to 12 hours after their main meal, and so that really registered with me. So then I've just been writing down like exactly the time that I fed her,
yeah,
and then working out the next time that she poos,
yeah,
and trying to do my schedule, because the mornings, like some mornings have been 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, absolutely, you know, but it's a little bit like a baby.
Something that I'm finding just lately is she is starting to get quite, she gets a little bit aggressive when she's about to go for, if she hasn't pooed, if I go for a walk, I've noticed she gets a bit aggressive.
A bit aggressive. Could be that she's a little bit constipated,
yeah.
I always think with walks, if any dog starts to get a little bit distracted or won't want to walk,
yeah,
or getting a bit aggressive or anything like that, just I always take a squeaky toy out,
yeah,
with me.
And try and distract
and
them.
Just try and distract. And often if a dog has a bit of a good run around, then she'll go
the
almost
bowel
immediately
movements.
After.
Yeah.
But also if they're on a walk and there's lots of dogs to play with, smell, sometimes they get distracted,
they can't
and they forget
concentrate.
To go to the,
yeah,
toilet.
I think that's
and suddenly
part
you'll
of
get
it.
Home and they'll go straight away and you're like, but we've been out for,
I know,
an hour.
I know.
Why would you do that?
So the other thing that's aggressive is when I'm putting her harness on.
Yeah. Harnesses are always difficult because they're difficult to get in and out of anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and it's over the head.
And even with him, I mean, he's 3 years old, trying to put his harness on. He's bouncing about because he knows he's going for,
yeah,
a walk. Trying to keep your dog calm when they know they're going out for a walk, which you want them to be excited about, is a very, very difficult thing. You almost have to stop when they're getting really overexcited,
yeah,
leave it, and,
yeah,
then try and start again.
Yeah.
Again, all these things involve
patience.
You having amazing amount of time,
yeah,
an amazing amount of patience.
Yeah.
And also a lot of these things will stop, you know.
Will they?
Yeah, they will, because when your puppy is young, everything is so exciting. So your hands, you know, moving around with a harness,
yeah,
is no different from like a squeaky toy.
Yeah,
or,
I suppose,
or,
yeah.
You know, but I found with my puppy a lot of the behaviour, like aggressive play fighting, it just stopped once she kind of figured it all out for herself a little. But the harness thing, you just have to, I would stop, leave it a minute bit, try
and again,
start.
Yeah.
And if she does ever do it when she's really, you just have to be ready with the with praise, and just try not to talk to her when she's doing it, because any,
okay,
excitement of like, no, it's very difficult for a puppy to kind of understand the difference between when you're giving them good attention and bad attention.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't understand.
Oh, she's given me some wicked bruises though, you know, because,
oh,
she's nipping and,
yeah,
you know, like all on my here.
Yeah, jumping up.
Yeah, and pulling me.
With all those, I mean, the nipping and the play biting is a lot of it about when they've got these really sharp little baby,
oh,
teeth. As soon
she
as those
me this morning,
oh,
and my hand was all bleeding. I was embarrassed to walk down,
oh,
the street.
No. When those baby teeth fall out, which they will, and they get their proper teeth in, those teeth, well, first of all, it doesn't hurt as much,
yeah,
but they kind of stop doing it. That's when my dog stopped,
right,
stopped doing,
yeah,
her play biting. Now, she would never even dream of, like, even mouthing us. Always have a toy handy, because fingers look very similar to a moving little toy, you know, and they really can't tell the difference. And they will always take the toy. I think a lot of people feel like I said, like they're failing, and then absolutely not. It is just
normal.
Absolutely,
yeah,
normal. You're doing all the right things. I don't think you should worry. It just feels like you're not.
Yeah.
If they don't respond to you,
yeah,
straight away.
Yeah.
But that's almost impossible. But look at her sitting on your feet.
No, she's
she's gorgeous.
Wait till we get to the gates and she starts to rip my hand off.
No, that all that kind of stuff will
stop.
Will stop.
Well, I've got treats in my,
yeah,
pocket, so I'll just bribery.
All about distraction.
Yeah. That was Alexis Fuller. And finally, what's on? This week, I chat to Martin Stogden, such a nice man, who runs the music school Four Hills. He's looking for new players for his Muswell Hill brass band. He explains to me what his school is all about.
There's so many adults out there who used to enjoy playing music when they were at school, when they were younger. Families have come along, job responsibilities, and they've let it all go. They've often got a violin or a trumpet up in the loft somewhere. I meet these people and they say, oh, you're a musician. I used to play the tuba, but I haven't played it for years. I wish I'd kept it up. And I see it as my role and my team's role to persuade these people that they've still got it. or even if they've always had an ambition to play something but never done it, you're never too old, it's never too late to learn and enjoy music making. Our three main areas are brass bands. These are traditional British brass bands. We run a symphony orchestra and we run a series of big band jazz projects. For brass banding, we typically get 25 to 30 people on the band nights. Some of them will be senior band members who can stay the whole evening and play everything. Others will be learners of all ages. On symphony orchestra night, we can get anything up to 40 or 50 people. Some people can come for one night a week. They might say, I like the orchestra, but I've not got time or interest for the rest. Other people, quite a strong core of people, come to absolutely everything, which amazes me. So they might be coming three or four nights a week. And in fact, from April, we're starting a new daytime jazz workshop in Highgate at the Jackson's Lane Theatre. We've got a brass band in Muswell Hill, based at Muswell Hill Methodist Church in Pages Lane. That meets on a Wednesday evening. We've got about 20 regular members there, but we could do with more. We need people to play certain instruments in the band, lower brass. So when I say lower brass, I mean big tubas, trombones, euphoniums. I've been a musician most of my life. I learnt piano and trumpet when I was at school. Until I started Four Hills Music, I worked in the city in a regular office job, but I felt that I was, it was some sort of calling to use my musical skills to greater effect. I had a young family to support. I felt that for the sake of my family and for myself, if I could find something that inspired me more and I felt was feeding more positive things back into the community, it would be better for everybody. And so that's what I've done. It's worked out very well. Performance is very important to us. Every rehearsal night we set up as if it were a performance. So we're not rehearsal bands. We invite people to come in, friends and supporters. It's always open. But we arrange lots of concerts as well. We're playing in Enfield on Thursday the 29th of March. We're doing a concert at St Luke's Church. The first half is orchestral. And we're playing a specially arranged piece, a version of Amazing Grace with Pachelbel's Canon intertwined. We're performing that with the children's choir, the Ragazzi Singers. And then the second half is Concert Band, which is our military-style wind band. You can pay on the door, it's £5. Tickets aren't available in advance, just turn up. And all the money goes to the Bridge of Hope charity, which supports orphans in Uganda. We have a website, fourhillsmusic.co.uk.
That was Martin Stockton. And that's all we have for this week. My thanks to Sarah, Jamie, Alexis and Martin. If you'd like to take part or have any comments, you can log on to n10show.com or you can follow us on Twitter at MuzzleHM. Till next week, goodbye.
N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.